Welcome to VGK Today, presented by BetMGM, where we give you an inside look at the Vegas Golden Knights' 2024 Stanley Cup playoff run. I'm Justin Russo with the Golden Knights on Sunday, April 28th, with the Golden Knights' lead in their first-round series with the Dallas Stars cut in half after Dallas took Game 3 in overtime at the Fortress on Saturday night. Vegas fell behind early in the first period on a goal by Wyatt Johnston, and trailed 2-0 just over 5 minutes into the middle frame after Miro Heiskanen extended the Dallas lead. The VGK, though, fought back in short order, their first response coming from Braden McNabb, who got his second goal of the series just over halfway into the second period.
So they'll skate four aside. Vegas wins an offensive zone draw, trailing by two. In the slot, McNabb opens up and scores! Whoa! Top left corner! Braden McNabb, the defenseman, flashes around to the top of the right circle, delivers it top left side by the blocker of Hottinger. The Knights have life, and now we're within a goal. 2-1 Stars halfway through the second period.
Then just 3 minutes and 10 seconds later, Jack Eichel brought the fans at T-Mobile Arena to their feet again with a shorthanded goal.
Now on the right side, at the goal line, backdoor save, rebound, flutters up the slot, Eichel on it, 2-on-1, Eichel up the right with Carlson across the line, Eichel right circle, shoots, he scores! Eichel looks to the crowd, are you not entertained? Eichel ties it 2-2, a shorthanded goal to make this one all square. Eichel with Carlson on the rush, Eichel goes top left corner, same spot McNabb did moments ago. Vegas has come back from a 2-0 deficit to make it a 2-2 game with 6:10 to go in the second.
An excellent second period for the VGK, but they just couldn't replicate it the rest of the way. Getting to overtime, but eventually losing on a goal by Wyatt Johnston, who got his second of the game with under 4 minutes remaining in the first overtime. Despite the loss, there is a clear bright spot for Vegas, and that is goaltender Logan Thompson. The Knights goaltender excelled in his first home playoff start, stopping 43 of 46 Dallas shots and keeping the Golden Knights in the game despite being consistently challenged as Dallas put heavy pressure on Vegas. If there were any questions about Logan's nerves ahead of his first playoff start at the Fortress, he quelled them on Saturday night.
Robertson lost an edge. Stars in. Heiskanen shoots, save, rebound. Oh, Thompson! How did he keep it out? Sliding left and reaching back to his right. Brilliance from Logan Thompson. And the crowd realizes what just happened. How did he do it? First a step on Heiskanen, then the rebound with his glove on Harley. And the stunned crowd now reacts to the replay on the scoreboard. You gotta put a star on that one. Delays, comes to the slot, and is then stripped of the puck. It's gonna be a breakaway. One on none. Right to the goal for Sagan. Kick save! Brilliant! Right pad stop by Logan Thompson on Tyler Sagan. Out they come. Slow developing 3-on-2 across the line. Hintz feeds the middle. Thompson with the shutdown to his right on the right pad save. Puck to the corner. Stars get it back the other way. Roope Hintz feeds the middle. A shot. Kick save! Puck to the far corner. Carrier lifts it to the neutral zone.
He has been out of this world. One of the greatest performances through two periods we've seen in the history of the Golden Knights. Forget Marc-Andre Fleury, Robin Leonard, Aiden Hill, you name it. This has been one of the best things we have ever seen from a goalie in this building. He has been remarkable.
That last bit was Gary Lawless as the second period came to a close at T-Mobile Arena, praising Logan Thompson for how well he had played up to that point. And of course, Logan Thompson continued that play all the way into the overtime period when a really perfectly placed shot by Wyatt Johnston beat him to win the game for Dallas. But overall for Vegas, you do have a positive then to take from that loss, though the Golden Knights know that they have to be a lot better now moving forward as the formidable Dallas Stars now have life in this series. The chance to respond for Vegas comes in Game 4, which will be on Monday at 6:30 p.m. at T-Mobile Arena. Lots to discuss after Game 3, and who better to talk to than the man, well, you've already heard in this episode, and the one who called Game 3 from high above ringside in the VGK radio booth. After the break, I chat with Dan Duva about Game 3 and the road ahead for the VGK.
Vegas! Perez. On behalf of Nagvi Injury Law, Golden Pipes, Carnell Johnson.
If you've been hurt, Nagvi is the word. Call 702-INJURE.
For Han Nagvi with Nagvi Injury Law, imagine you've been injured in an accident. Now, do you want an assembly line law firm that treats you like a number and settles early for easy money? Hell no. Call me now for a free consultation at 702-INJURED.
Hello, I am Kerry Buchholz, President and CEO for your Vegas Golden Knights. I am a proud board member of the Nevada Donor Network Foundation. With over 600 Nevadans waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, we can all do our part to bring hope to those waiting. I am partnering with Nevada Donor Network to raise awareness about registering to be a hero. I am a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor, and proud Nevadan. Are you? Join us at wearenevadans.org.
All right, here on VGK today, from the radio booth here at T-Mobile Arena, as the Golden Knights have dropped Game 3 to the Dallas Stars, 3-2 in overtime, welcoming in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And Dan, we saw an excellent performance in net from Logan Thompson, but not enough to get the win tonight.
Boy, Logan was as good, Justin, as I think I've ever seen him. And he's had some great moments. Clearly, he's had a few shutouts in his career. An all-star last year. Never got to the Stanley Cup playoffs because the Knights missed it 2 years ago. Last year, injured, did not get this stage. Never had the opportunity to play an overtime playoff game. And, of course, was 2-0, first couple of games of the series in Dallas. Loses Game 3, ironically the best of the three showings. Now, the first game of the series, you know, the Stars managed both games in the 20s. They didn't get to 30 in Game 1. They were at 29. Game 2, they got to 21. Thompson gave up a total of 4 goals in those two games. So he gave up 3 today in what was just an eye-popping performance. I started to lose track of his big-time saves. The first one I wrote down was back in the first period when he had a shot from out high by Haskinen. Made the save, and then there was the rebound at very close range from Harley. And that, to me, was wow. Like, how did he do that with the glove at very close range? But what you also saw in that moment was maybe the nerves, the excitement, home crowd, first home playoff game for Logan. He can sometimes get out of position because he's so amped up. And maybe he makes that brilliant save because he was out of position just a little bit, still made the save. 3 minutes later, makes a save, but then he tries to play the puck with his stick, kind of directs it to Johnston, who makes a nice backhand shot for the game's first goal. Now, that is as much as you can, but I'm going to nitpick Logan Thompson because that moment notwithstanding, the shots in the first period, Dallas had 18, Vegas had 7. Second period, Dallas had 15, Knights had 10. Third period, Dallas down to 5, Vegas up to 10. Then you go into overtime when Dallas had 8 and Vegas had 7. Add them all up, 46-34 were the shots. But it's not only the number, it's some of the high-quality chances that the Stars had. If not for Logan Thompson, Justin, this game would have been lopsided. Have been over way, way, way before this game was decided after 11 p.m., in overtime by Wyatt Johnston, second of the game. It simply was one of the better goaltending performances in recent memory. Perhaps we can go back through the years and dial up some great playoff wins from Knights goaltenders. But in recent memory, this is about as good as it gets. Of course, the Knights had a couple of shutout wins in last year's postseason, including in the clincher, Hill against the Stars. But in terms of the numbers, the performance, the highlight caliber saves by Logan Thompson, boy, I'm just racking my brain. I think back to that first-round series in 2017-18 mm-hmm. with Marc-Andre Fleury for the Golden Knights, Jonathan Quick for the LA Kings. Knights swept that series. Game 4, Vegas won 1-0. McNabb scored the game winner. But both goalies were just outstanding. Jonathan Quick was just incredible. I wonder if we were to go back, whether it was a Fleury performance or a Quick performance, both were excellent there. There have been now 91 of these, 91 playoff games in Knights history. It's possible that Logan's showing today was the best goaltending performance in a playoff game. He probably gets knocked down a peg because he didn't win. And there's probably somewhere in those previous 90, there's a better one, and the guy won, whoever it might have been. But in certainly recent memory, this was as good as it gets in a playoff performance and for Logan Thompson himself.
I think back to the power play the Golden Knights had in the second period before things really kicked off and all the shorthanded chances that he had to save as a momentum turning point in this game that eventually led to those couple of goals. But talking about those chances and some of the things that Vegas gave up today, you know, they came into this one and they said, you know, we have another level to our game and we have the blueprint from the first couple, but we need to build on that. And we didn't really see that in front of Logan Thompson today.
No, get better was the message that Bruce wanted his team to hear, and they were not better today than the first couple of games. It's the same group of guys. There was a slight adjustment to the combination of forwards. Brett Howden moved up to play with Stevenson and Stone. That's where Brett had been off in last postseason, scored that overtime goal against the Stars game one here with those guys getting the assists. And then, of course, Tomas Hertl joining William Karlsson and Anthony Mantha. It's kind of a rough spot, I think, for Hertl. He's had a few regular season games under his belt. Mark Stone, of course, was unavailable for those. Plays with Stone and Stevenson first couple of playoff games. You know, Stone got a power play goal. Hertl got a power play goal. Didn't produce anything at even strength, but at the same time, they didn't give up all that much either.
Yeah.
Then you look at what happened here today, and I'm not sure that Hertl clicked with Karlsson and Mantha much more than he clicked with Stevenson and Stone. So maybe it was the home crowd. Maybe it was that slight adjustment. It just was not what the Knights wanted to do in terms of building. It is a credit to the Stars that they managed to find something that was a weakness for Vegas and exploit it. But Bruce Cassidy was not pleased with how the team started. It was 1-0 after one. Could have been a lot worse. But it just seemed to me that the way that the Knights came out to play this one was not a continuation of what they had done in Dallas.
Yeah, after those two games in Dallas, it was all about, we haven't played our best game yet, and we're still up 2-0. That's what Alex Petrangelo told us on this program a couple of days ago, but Knights weren't able to build on that. And, you know, you look for game four on Monday, and we talked a lot about Logan Thompson heading into the series overall and how he might adjust to playoff hockey and dialing down some of those nerves, but the group in front of him is a very experienced one, and do you think for game four, it's easier to rely on those guys to get things right who have so much experience to draw upon?
You would think so. I mean, Braden McNabb was definitely that today, and he had joined our radio broadcast after the first period and, you know, kind of recognized what had gone wrong in the first and what can be improved going forward, and, you know, he leads the way. He had a goal, an assist, could have had the winning goal in overtime. There were a number of important moments for Braden McNabb today. He was the best among the Knights skaters and could be an alternate captain, could be a captain on a lot of teams. It's a leadership-heavy group. You know, Mark Stone has now been back for three games. I think that there were times where Mark is forcing it a little bit. Had that power play goal in the first game, but there are some times where he's not as sure-handed with the puck as you would expect him to be, and he knows that. There are times when there are other elder statesmen, you'd expect those guys to lead by example. And there's so much leadership in that room. You know that from moment to moment, from practice to practice, it's not as though there's a lack of a voice or guidance in there. So they know it. They've been through it all. And it's for the coaching staff to figure out how to configure things and how to get the game plan righted to ensure that this does not happen again in game four.
You speak of the coaching staff configuring things, and we talk all year about this team's depth. Does that include potential additions into the lineup with some of the guys that are on the sideline right now?
Yeah, the guys who took warm-up today but did not go into the lineup for the Knights were Ben Hutton on defense and Pavel Dorofeev among the forwards. There were multiple Golden Knights who did not partake in practice the last few days. Nicholas Hague was injured, but there were others who were termed maintenance. And those included William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault. And, you know, you're not going to look to take those guys out of the lineup. You're assuming that because they played today, they would be all right to play in game four. Is there a spot for Pavel Dorofeev in the lineup someplace? Who do you take out? Of course, Dorofeev played often with Carlson throughout the year when he was in there. So does that mean Mantha? Does that mean Howden? Howden is a penalty killer, and the Knights' penalty kill has been strong. I'm not sure that you'd want to do that. Howden, of course, was better and better as the game went along. On the blue line, Ben Hutton did get into the playoffs for a game last year. Petrangelo suspended, et cetera. I'm not sure that that was the weak link today. So I'm not sure that there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction to take somebody out, put somebody in, or multiple people out and multiple people in. Maybe it's adjusting the combinations, or maybe it's just the execution to be addressed, practice, morning skate, and expect it to look more like the finish to this game compared to the beginning. Because they were much better as the game went along. You just would be surprised to see a bad start two games in a row at home. Dallas is the best road team in the regular season, 26 road wins. But the Knights were among the top 10 home teams. They had 27 wins here. And, of course, were very good here in last year's postseason. So it was not a good start for the Knights today. What buttons Bruce Cassidy pushes, time will tell. But I would expect a much better start for this team when Game 4 arrives on Monday.
And a lot more to improve upon, I think, than from the first couple of games where they might have said they had a lot more in the tank or they had another level they could get to. But you look at those first two games, they played pretty well, all things considered. And I think you look at this one, especially on the shot clock, a lot to be tightened down defensively, too, moving into Game 4.
Yeah. I also wonder, Justin, if the Stars get some real confidence from this. They, I'm sure, felt they had delivered some really good hockey for stretches, but didn't have much to show for it. Today, they had a strong start. They had a 2-0 lead, and then that lead is gone. But they managed to pull out the win. It's almost like the Kings the other day in Edmonton, had a lead. Oilers come back, but the Kings managed to win it in overtime anyway. But then what do you know? Edmonton wins the next game.
Back and forth.
So that's the nature of these things. We talk about momentum. We talk about confidence, feeling good about your game, and what does that lead to? I mean, Wyatt Johnston ought to feel great about the way things are going. A couple of goals today in the first goal and the winner in overtime. And, he hasn't even played two dozen playoff games in his young career. He's been very, very good. Johnston, Hintz, and Robertson is the top line. Was today, had not been the previous couple of games. So maybe Pete DeBoer has latched on to something. I don't know if Mason Marchment or Radek Foxa might be coming back. It's possible Yanni Hakanpää could come back on the blue line. Maybe Maverick Bork gets in. Yeah. He was called up, AHL MVP, did not play in the game, but was added to the roster for the Stars. It's weird because you know, if you win the game, how much do you adjust?
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of like what we were talking about with Bruce Cassidy and the Knights. They won the first two games. Do you change anything? And he did change the forward combinations. Well, the Stars had to change because they had two guys out of the lineup. They win the game. You put those guys back in if they can go? Do you go with the same configuration? Well, that's why these guys are paid the big bucks. Pete DeBoer, 145 playoff game coach. Bruce Cassidy, 104. These guys have seen a lot of playoff hockey in their impressive careers.
And Pete DeBoer has seen a lot of Golden Knights playoff hockey over his time, too, whether with the Sharks, the Stars, or, of course, here in Vegas as well. But I wanted to ask you personally, too. Of course, we talked about the first time that there's a playoff game in this building since last year, the Stanley Cup Final. And for you to look out over this radio booth and see the sea of gold there at T-Mobile Arena, how fun was that to come back?
Well, the first thing that caught my eye was the Dragon. The new Dragon atop the castle to, from our point of view in the radio booth, the fortress to our right where you are familiar with the Las Vegas skyline, that mural, and then the flags for each of the teams. So in the regular season, you've got all the flags and the divisions. But in the postseason, they rearrange the flags based on each postseason series. So as we look at it, Florida, Tampa, Boston, Toronto, Rangers, Capitals, Hurricanes, Islanders, to the left of the castle and the Dragon. And then, of course, to the right, Dallas, Vegas, Winnipeg, Colorado, Vancouver, Nashville, Edmonton, LA. So when the show begins, sometimes we're on the air, sometimes, we're the pregame show, and I'd love to watch what happens on the ice. Because the folks who put this stuff together are just so talented. The technology, the vision, how it all comes together night after night, year after year, postseason after postseason to come up with something new and eye-popping and amazing. And just talked to a couple of those folks in the press box here during the game. Said, what did you think of the dragon, Dan? It's like I can't believe it. It's like out of Hollywood. So if you didn't see it or hear about it, there's now a massive dragon. I mean, it could eat me. It is a huge thing. It looks like some kind of Hollywood prop that they've just paused the filming for a few minutes. That is perched itself atop the fortress, and then it's part of the show, and the smoke is coming out or whatever it breathes out of fire-breathing dragon, I'm sure. And it's just amazing. It really good. We can only capture so much of it on the radio, Justin. It is something to behold in person. And it really does make this an intimidating place to play. So the crowd last time at T-Mobile Arena for a playoff game, it was the Stanley Cup final clincher. And I suppose people expected the Knights to kind of pick up where they left off. They had not trailed by 2 goals since conference final against Dallas last year. And obviously they trailed by 2. They came back to tie it today. And the fans were a little bit unsure of how to handle this. They've seen a lot of winning in this building. To see a deficit and then come from behind effort, but unsure how to handle overtime. There were some nervous folks here in the building. But the Stars fans who managed to squeeze their way in here managed to walk home happy.
And a question for you from a broadcast perspective. You know, we talk a lot about in the regular season, you bring up the numbers sometimes when the Golden Knights go on the road, 7 games in 7 different cities or whatnot over a certain stretch, and you're included in that as well, traveling with the team. But it's hard to say anything slows down for the playoffs, but from your perspective, it's got to be a little nice playing the same team and having a little bit more space in between these games.
Yeah, we joke, you know, you could play 4 different opponents in a regular season week, 7 days, yeah. 4 different opponents. The amount of time and preparation to look back through your notes and watch tape and see who's up from the American League and who's injured and who are the hot players and what are some stories, and then find the line combinations and power play guys, you know, all that sort of stuff. You do that 4 times, 4 different opponents in a week. Well, obviously, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the maximum number of opponents is 4. So you don't stop preparing. It just allows you to drill down a little bit further on individuals and teams and, you know, what makes a particular player go or where he's from. And, of course, you get to talk more about the Golden Knights and some of the stories that have led to this point. So the immersion, the marinating your head continues for sure. The Dan's brain is heavily marinated now. And after an overtime, it is ready to be cooked.
Well, with the win for Dallas today, that ensures that we're going to have at least one more game back in Texas between these two teams. And what are some plans for Dan Duva as he heads back to Dallas? Any restaurant plans? Any things you didn't get to do the first time around, or
well,
maybe last year?
Yeah, there are some great spots, of course, in Dallas. And if we had several days off, as we had earlier this year, the dad's trip was in Dallas. Mm-hmm. We might try to take ourselves out to those locations. It's a little bit trickier because it'll be just one game. The Knights will play at T-Mobile on Monday, travel on Tuesday, and play on Wednesday. And then they'll likely travel Thursday back to Las Vegas. So there's not all that much time to enjoy Dallas the way that we would love to if we had more time. And then, you know, Bruce Cassidy talks about this with respect to the players and heard the folks on television talking about how do you handle yourself in those overtime intermissions, where especially double overtime. And it's hard to do that. I'm sure it is. But talking for 3 hours straight is physically demanding too. So it is important to get rest when we're on the road. You change time zones, you lose a couple hours. So when we were in Dallas last week, Justin, we did go out to dinner once, but the second night, I got some food back to the hotel room and watched some hockey, worked on my notes, and that was important to get some rest and make sure that there's enough energy in the tank for long playoff games. The word overtime is I got in the elevator and the word overtime almost came out of my mouth in Dallas, and I had several people ready to pounce at me, and you know, it did not happen. So the this is just the best. The overtime games, Stanley Cup playoffs, the excitement is what we live for. All the other series are still going as we speak, with the team staving off elimination. And I root for all series to go seven games. It is just so much fun. It can be tiring for the announcers. You know, just hearing folks talking about the legendary Bob Cole, who passed away at age 90, thinking about, you know, the big moments, the overtimes, the playoffs that he called through the years. And you just want to live up to that high standard that he and so many others have set. And the overtime moments are that. People will remember overtime winners. It's just the nature of things. You don't even have to look it up in the encyclopedia or the media guidebook. You just read, the Eric Halla, double overtime. It's just, it's there.
You know.
On the other side, Tomas Hertl, right? It's just there. People know it. And that's what makes the Stanley Cup playoffs great. What's going to happen next? Nobody knows, but that's why we're here.
Well, we're all here for these moments, but as you said, talking for 3 hours is quite tiresome, and as we sit here 2 minutes to midnight, I think I'll let you go here.
I'm in a groove now. We could talk all night, Justin. I'm ready for multiple overtimes. I did not have any coffee since this morning, just for the record, but I've got my energy bars.
Mm.
I've got to be careful because caffeine, while stimulating, not good for the pipes. Pineapple is good for the pipes. Water is usually helpful, but too much, that's not good either. There's no commercial timeouts during overtime periods, but those energy bars help you get through. I have not gone with Mike Emmerich's chosen snack, which is peanut butter sandwiches.
That might be a little too heavy.
That might be a little, it's enough protein in there, I suppose, but they've got energy bars now. So energy bar, and then a page out of Vin Scully's book, A Jolly Rancher or Two. I didn't need any of those today, but, it's only the third game of the playoffs.
Keep those in the back pocket for some lengthy games.
Yes, wishing for many more games and lengthy ones. If they come, that would be great.
Very nice. Dan, thank you for joining us on today's episode.
Thanks, Justin.
Well, there you have it. Energy bars and Jolly Ranchers, the secret sauce behind Dan Duva's Golden Knights radio broadcast there. Thanks to Dan for talking with me after Game 3, and we'll hope the Golden Knights can indeed respond with a win on Monday in Game 4. Before we get to that, though, let's quickly jump around the Golden Knights locker room as head coach Bruce Cassidy, Captain Mark Stone, and defenseman Braden McNabb all offered their thoughts on the Game 3 loss.
Well, probably they're down 2-0, so they obviously had a level of urgency that we weren't able to match. Sometimes that happens. You have a successful road trip, you win a couple, you come home, you think maybe it's going to be easy. We should be farther along than that, so I got to prepare the guys better, clearly. And at some point, you got to get to your game. It just took us too long. Now, having said that, you know, we weathered it because of Logan. Gave us every chance to get back in the game, and we did. So once it was 2-2, then, you know, it was a little bit different. But, you know, they executed better than we did. You know, you see it in overtime. They had more jump, more urgency. We didn't have that level we needed tonight to win a playoff hockey game. For whatever reason, we'll sort through that. But again, the start was unacceptable, and you know, we should be better than that. And I think I look forward to comparisons last year. Our first game at home here, we weren't very good either. Now it was game one of the series, not game three, so you're kind of dipping your toe in. But again, we're going to need to be a lot better on Monday, and we'll make sure we prepare the guys so we are.
Mark, the playoffs are all about the game-to-game adjustments. What do you think is the biggest learning lesson from that one?
Just the start. I mean, we dug ourselves a hole that we were able to climb ourselves out of, but had to use a lot of energy to get out of there. Goalie obviously kept us in the game for the first probably 35 minutes of the game until we got the 2-1 goal. But, playing a good team. Hard to beat the best team in our conference 3 games in a row. So regroup, we'll have to make a few changes. But for the majority of the game, it was just the start that kind of cost us.
As the leader, do you focus on the fact that you were able to scratch and claw the way you did and find your game as it went on?
It's playoffs, it's results, right? You gotta either win or lose at this time of year. No moral victories. So, I'm sure there's some good that we did, some bad that we did. It's all about just figuring out, what we did good, kind of build that into Monday night.
We got to be better. First half of the game, I don't know how many odd man rushes it was. But Logan, you know, kept us in the game, and we were able to fight our way back. But yeah, we got to start better and have better starts.
What does it say about the team that you even took that game as far as you did, given the start? And is that something that you focus on moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we played better second half for sure. Over time, I think we probably wanted a little bit more of an attack mentality. But, you know, in the day, it is what it is. They got one, and now we move on to game four.
We'll step aside, and when we come back after the break, we'll take a look around the NHL and see what's going on in some of the other first-round series.
Listen up! Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959. Go to terribles.com for more details.
Jack Daniels has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of: moments. Those are on us to create. You see, hockey fans, we only get one shot at this thing called life. So let's make sure we're making the most of every moment, whether it's showing up for our team or sipping a glass of Jack while cheering at the radio. Don't let a single moment go to waste. Make it count. Jack Daniels.
Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Copyright 2022 Jack Daniels. All rights reserved.
Taking a look around the NHL and checking in on Saturday's results, we look in on three Eastern Conference series that continued to start the weekend. First up, the Islanders were fighting to stay alive in Game 4 after falling behind 3-0 in their first-round series against the Hurricanes. The Isles did just that, taking down Carolina just under 90 seconds into double overtime on a goal by Matt Barzal. And now the series heads back to Carolina to give the Canes a chance to end things on home ice in Raleigh. The Lightning also aimed to stave off elimination and avoid a sweep against Florida, and they also stayed alive on Saturday, taking down the Cats 6-3 to extend the series. Boston and Toronto battled in Game 4 as well, in the only Eastern Conference series that didn't begin with one team taking a 3-0 lead. And though it isn't 3-0, after Game 4 it is a 3-1 lead for Boston now, after winning back-to-back games in Toronto, taking Game 4 by a final score of 3-1. On Sunday, we can look forward to four more games with the schedule heavily tilted toward the Western Conference. At 11:30 a.m., the Avs host the Jets for Game 4, as Colorado looks to win its third straight game in this series after dropping the opener, currently leading the best-of-seven series 2-1. Of course, the winner of this series will meet either Dallas or Vegas, so be sure to keep an eye on the early action on Sunday morning. After that, at 2 p.m., the Predators looked to even the series versus the Canucks after Vancouver took Game 3 on the road in Nashville. The third game is the lone Eastern Conference matchup and another chance for a team to become the first to advance out of the first round, as the Rangers, up 3-0 on the Capitals, look for the sweep in Washington, with puck drop from D.C. set for 5 p.m. And finally, the nightcap features two teams the VGK are quite familiar with in the Oilers and the Kings. Edmonton dominated Game 3 to take a 2-1 series lead and will look to extend their advantage when they take the ice at 7:30 in Los Angeles. Game 4 between the Golden Knights and Stars is set for Monday at 6:30 p.m. from the Fortress. And if you're coming down to T-Mobile Arena, be sure to wear your gold and cheer on the VGK as they look to shake off their first loss of this first-round series. With the loss, there is of course a guarantee of things shifting back to Dallas for Game 5. And even though the VGK will be on the road, a reminder to our listeners that whether it's a home or away game, all fans decked out in VGK gear get an exclusive 10% off their bill at Nelly's Southern Kitchen. Golden Knights goals taste even better with Nelly's mouth-watering Southern Delights. Thanks as always for tuning into VGK today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform, as we'll be back every day throughout the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs with new episodes. Stay tuned for tomorrow as Dave Gosher joins our show. Justin Russo signing off for VGK Today, presented by BetMGM.